All right, we're still studying changing gods. So let's go to Romans 8. Verse 1. Everybody there?
Yes.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the Spirit, of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, peace. Now it's interesting that it doesn't say there's no condemnation to them that have Christ Jesus in them. There's no condemnation when you are in Christ. And that's the big difference. Because Jesus Christ is in all men. But it doesn't do them any good, because they're not in Christ. So, in being, going from believing in him to being in him is massive. You can't be in him and give importance to anything in time and space. Let's look at 1 John real quick. Again, we've studied this a million times, but when you see that it's really an exchange of gods, then you can understand what the mystery is. There's no merit to having Christ in you. That's as common as dirt. What is the rarest thing in time and space is you being in Christ. And this is another scripture which says the same thing. Chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 15. Anybody there? Except Pete?
Not there yet.
Love not the world. Remember, love here is used as a verb. And it's agapeo, which is the verb form of agape. And I've said it 1,000 times. It was the translators of the Old Testament, when they did it, the thing called the Septuagint, when they had the 70 scholars translate the Old Testament, they coined the word agapeo, which the love of God. And then the New Testament writers coined the noun agape, that is God's love, or love that originates in him. And so here, this is the word agapeo, which says love not the world. Agapeo just means something you give importance to. That's the verb form. Everybody get that? So love given not or given importance to nothing in the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the whole mystery is this trip that Jesus has to make in you, so that you are in him, not just he in you. And that's what the word to be in him is, as I said, is rare. Rare as hen's teeth. Because if you are, you no longer give any importance to anything of the that you can sense or smell or see. That's why he said these terrible things. No man can come to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, and his children, yea, and his own life also. That's the test of whether or not you're in the world or not in the world, or if you're in Christ or in the world. It's a big test. It's the rarest scripture in the Bible, except for that other one. You travel over sea and land to make one convert. When he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. These aren't light sayings. These aren't some philosophy. These get to the core of who your being is. You have to exchange the being one. And it's from the evil one, which is you. You are sin. And replace that you-ness with him. But his humility is so great, he cannot and will not occupy wherever you remain. Obviously, he could flip his finger and destroy everything, but that wouldn't be the test then. Then his people would not have to go through the same test that he did. Remember, the definition of a disciple is he who continues with Christ in his temptation, no longer in yours. This is ultimately what it means to exchange gods. Everybody understand that?
You think that's a choice?
Hmm?
Do you think that's a choice? I'm going to exchange gods now?
No, you exchange gods when you no longer give breath to anything in the world.
I guess the way I think of it, you pick up the cross, I mean, at each one of these points, I can't transform myself from a believing into Christ in me. That's the work of God.
Christ in you is common. It's as natural as the flesh.
Yeah, but I'm talking about what transmits you from this to that.
To being in Christ?
Yeah.
Repentance alone.
And I believe that that's the work of God.
But again, it's the work of God only when you repent.
Who grants you repentance? Isn't that different?
Well, it doesn't take very much, in my opinion, to see the emptiness and futility of the world system. There's nothing in the world that I desire or want. The only reason I got to that place is because I saw the vanity of it all, and I repented of it. And then I had to repent 15,000 other times as soon as my mind would try to get a hold again. Probably 15 million. But the point is, it's not a passive issue. It's God at work, but he cannot work where you are. That's his great humility.
That's active letting, active repenting, active abandoning, letting go.
I mean, you can't, you may be, again, as we said so often, the three graces that God has given so that we can see him. And when we see him, obviously, we're dead. You can't live and see him. Only that which came from the Father can return. You and I didn't come from the Father. You and I came from sin.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to... Well, does anybody not understand this?
You say God can't...
Occupy.
Occupy where you are. But he certainly works on you where you are. There's something that's...
Well, the Holy Spirit, the three things the Holy Spirit does... He reproves you and I. What does it say? He reproves what?
Sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Right. He reproves the world, you and I, of sin. Well, let's go there. Let's not worry about what I say. Go to John 15, I think.
Turn the page. No, different John. Big John.
No, it must be. I think it's John 6.
Second.
No, it's not. Ha! John 16.
Big John.
Big John. This is one of those scriptures that we pass over but don't really understand. Starting in verse 4. Let's start in verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, or churches, it just means gathering of people. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God holy service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But they're in the name of Jesus. They're in the name of God. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the paraclete, I hate that word comforter, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him. Now why is that so important? Because Christ can only work on the outside. The Holy Spirit works on the inside. And this is critical. What the Holy Spirit now is doing. Let's look at it. And when he has come, verse 8, he will reprove the world, which is you and I, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Now the word believe there isn't this word like I believe the light's on. The word believe is 100% abandonment of yourself. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Now these three things are what the Holy Spirit is doing constantly. And whenever the door opens, where you see something you've given breath to in the world means nothing, is vanity, then repentance can come. And when repentance opens the door for the Holy Spirit then. And as this goes on, that's why it took Abraham 100 years. It took Jacob the struggle, the fight. It took Isaac instant revelation. Faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's reproving the world of sin, where they believe not on me. They're still leaning on their own arm of understanding. And then righteousness come when you're in that position. You can think you've arrived. No. The only righteousness is he went to the Father. And then you're also judging other people. No. The only judgment is that the prince of the world has been judged. Any other judgment is just pure evil. So those are the three things the Holy Spirit's doing to you, to every person in the world. Most of them are hard-hearted. They don't even see it. Believers think they see it, but their life shows they don't. And this is the problem in Christianity. You think that you've arrived. And once you think you've arrived, it's a God for sure that you haven't. So the Holy Spirit is the one that's working on you if you're not abandoned in every area of your life. But as long as you think it's good, the Holy Spirit won't mess with you till you see its emptiness. Let's go to another one. Go to James. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world, or with the world, is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I mean, there's no wiggle room. Any man loves, give his breath to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And here, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. There's no middle ground. Do you understand that? The exchange of gods has to be complete.
So, there's something here that you talk about. If you give any importance to the world or anything in it, then the love of God's not in you.
That's what it says.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
It means what it says.
I don't think so.
What do you think it means?
Well, if that's the case, then the love of God's not in anybody, because everybody gives importance to the world one way or another. You give importance to the newspaper in the morning, you read it. So is the love of God not in you because you read the newspaper? I go do my job, so I give importance to doing a good job. Is the love of God not in me because I give importance to it? If that's the case, what's the deal here? So it has to do something with we're in the world, by God's design and choice and plan, but are we of the world? And that's
these are the two things that we just read that tell you whether you're in the world or not. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Where did it go?
But you said love there means give importance to.
Right, it's agapeo.
Okay. But then when you do anything of interest showing the world that the love of God...
Then that's why repentance is constant. And it's up to God to... Once you repent, if you see it... That's why I've said for 100 years, it seems like, that if you think you have to do this... You, for whatever reason, you have to be in the world, then say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Never justify it. You always take the lowest seat.
We studied Colossians the other day about there is no place God is not. He's abiding all powers.
That's talking about the totalness of Jesus. That's what he. It's talking about Jesus.
Talk
Colossians,
about
huh?
Talk about God.
Put it Colossians. We're going to start where it starts.
Okay. Where's that?
In verse 15, what delivered us from the power of darkness, and it's translated or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now it's talking about the Son now. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and all things and by him all things exist. That's what Christ does. He gives thanks unto the Father in verse 12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now it's talking about Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I mean, sorry, that's where, now from now on, it's his Son, in whom you believe.
Well, in linking the two things together,
Gary, I spent many years trying to believe that this wasn't true. Because I was doing things in the name of God in the world. And then the repentance happened suddenly. I was electrocuted. Then from then on, anything in the world just faded away. It took some time, but it's all empty, all brutal, all without purpose, cause. The only thing the purpose of the world is to put you to the test of whether or not you're going to believe in God or believe in the world. And this is the critical issue. I mean, it's total. That's why he was tested by all things from the time of his baptism on. So are we, because it's assumed you're buried in baptism. But if you're not, then it will be revealed, because you will still give things importance to things in the world. Well, this isn't a time thing that's instantaneous most of the time, because most of us, the primary grace is the grace of Abraham, and it takes a long time. But it can never take place unless there's repentance, because it's repentance that does one thing, and one thing only. It opens the door to God. So every place where we rely not on Him, that's where the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that that's sin, because it is not a faith. But if you try to justify being in the world, God help you. That's why I've said so often, you can't. You've got to make it not any longer your business, but God's business. So you have to take the lowest seat. The lowest seat says, Father, I don't know what else to do. Then you freed him by that act, not just saying it, it's an act of repentance. Then you freed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never violates your will or what you think is your will. All right, that's another lesson on exchanging gods. There's a bunch more. Everybody understand a little bit? Jeff?
Yeah.
Just give it all, give the issues back to God. But don't justify anything of the world. Father, I don't know what else to do. Help me. I mean, in my little challenge to God, if I found any contradictions, what I really found was a whole bunch of things I didn't like. But it would repeat it over and over and over until finally I understood repentance. I just thought repentance was something you did when you did something wrong that you thought was wrong. No. Repentance is being forgiven from having any even slightest importance to the world system. It's not easy. The road is hard. To live by faith seems impossible. By faith alone. This is one we've talked to many times, but it's a good coda for this. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say it's not that there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you are not grieved. And that's what we do over and over and over. Until finally we see, hallelujah, faith alone. You don't ever again dare to say, well, God gave me this mind. Yeah, but that mind fell on its ass. It's worthless. Except to be a test to prove what is that good and perfect will of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then when you finally go through these repents and you move from Him in you, being the hope. You've been transformed into him. So you are in Christ. He isn't just in you. And you're in him. And every single breath, touch of your being, that's what sanctification is. All right. Take it big guy.